If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once-a-week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls, your stories of real haunting experiences. The phone number, 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. You can always write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Send that right off your smart device. We'd appreciate to hearing your ghost stories. We enter the month of Halloween. Tony and Sean joining you once again. How are you this fine day?
Good. I'm just enjoying my Halloween candy bowl.
Did you ever, as a kid, when you had Halloween costumes, what was the route of your costumes? Was it the pre-made ones from the store? Was it ones your mom made? Did you do it? What did you do for Halloween costumes?
Well, Tony, mine was a hybrid.
Okay.
Parts that my parents could not make, we would, we'd go buy the cape for the vampire. We would buy the fake fangs, but makeup wise and the shirt, the pants for the vampire look, that was homemade, and or as my mom would call it, her favorite store, which is of course the local Goodwill.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not paying $40 for something you'll wear maybe once. We just go to Goodwill and get that for $6 or under.
I frequented that quite a bit for Halloween costumes. In fact, I did just last year for the girls because they wanted to be zombies. So that's a great place to go get some zombie clothes. I mean, they have other decent selections too, but sometimes it's like I'm just going to go and try and find the most tattered thing I can find and then rip it up even more. And it works lovely for that.
And I think it's something that stays with you for me, not only as a child, but more so when you're in college, maybe senior year of high school, when you have those Halloween parties and everybody goes in September to get the best thing. You need to really remember in March and April and May when you see, that would be great for Halloween. Get it then.
Yeah.
Because go in September, guess what? Everybody and their mother is going to need that one thing that you think will be unique for costume this year. Get it in April. Get it around Easter when nobody's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. It is, because that's when they're going to have everything that you want for Halloween. One of the things that I got, I was part of a haunted hayride. I think I was 18 or so. It was my senior year of high school. And I had a whole scene that I had. And what I did was I got a bunch of suitcases from the Goodwill. And the thing is, these were like those vintage ones that now sell on eBay for like $300. But at the time, they were like $15, $10, $5, $3. They were really cheap. And then I you know, damaged them all and then screwed them around my scene of the haunted house or the haunted hayride in the field. And I look back at that now and I go, oh, my God, had I kept those suitcases, it's probably like a couple $1,000 right there that I, you know, because right after that, all that vintage stuff just skyrocketed in price.
And what's interesting is if you would just keep things, I mean, you look at the starter jackets, the more on the sports side, Starter just started making again those NFL pullover jackets.
Yeah.
That they've now started making them again here in 2018. And I can remember for Christmas getting one of those to just hold on. And as everybody is, well, it's memories over things. Get rid of all that stuff. You know what? Some things that you have a little bit of a sentimental holding on, hold on to it, because yourself in 20 years you may need those $2,000-$4,000.
Yeah, that's true. And then sometimes if you hold on to everything, it becomes a wonderful episode of Hoarders, and you'll find stray cats.
It's called The Container Store.
That's true.
There's so much crap that there was a company, there was a CEO that literally invested enough to come out with a chain of stores called The Container Store. Which I've heard is quite lovely. I've never been in one. Have you?
I have, and it's an organizer's heaven and a hoarder's hell is what I would probably.
A lot of anxiety going in the front entrance there. Holy hell!
Yeah, my wife loves it because she's an organizer, and so it's like Toys R Us to her. But yeah, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's jump over to a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hello, Tony. This is Stuart Sesney out of Baltimore. I did send you an email with an amazing video of some very active shadow creatures, if you will. I think they're my angels, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Secondly, I'd like to just tell you a scary story, very terrifying. I would say about 1980, my friend and I, both about 6'5", at that time, 290 at the time, we were bouncers slash cooks at a local pub. And we worked a long day, and we were tired. We were getting ready to go to his house, call it a night there, go fishing in the morning. So we're taking the country road, and as we're going through the road, there's a few houses, nothing big, you know. And we noticed it was 115-some degrees, but there's a man on the left side of the road standing there by a white oak tree just looking at the car. And I'm wondering, why is the guy wearing a long wool coat, a hat? He's got glasses on, like old people. They wear those big, thick, black wraparound glasses. And it almost looked like he had one of those dirty old men hook-nose masks on that were real popular in the 80s. So my buddy's driving. I'm in the passenger seat, and it's only a two-lane road. We're going down, and this man is across the street on the driver's side. So as we passed it, we both were frozen. We had cotton mouth. We were shaking. And we're two badass guys. I mean, we're nobody to mess with. We don't scare easy. My friend said, I think I just saw death. I said, that had to have been a joke. Wearing that hot clothes, those hot clothes, we got to turn around, man. I'm not going to sleep unless I know that's somebody messing around. So, of course, we make a U-turn, and the idiot's pulling up right up on the curb. On my side now, this thing by the tree, I'm waiting to hit the window, and I'm yelling at him, don't go so close, man. I don't know if he's real or what, and he's laughing. Well, to his surprise, the thing was in the middle of the road now and hits the window on his side. So at that point, he screamed, I screamed, he squeals wheels going, and again comes to a stop. We both can't breathe. He says, how the hell did he get in the middle of the road? I'm like, he must have walked. I said, teaches you a lesson. I said, again, we can't go the long way. We got to go back. I'm not going to go an hour out of the way just because of this freak. So we both spin around, we take a deep breath, we're literally praying out loud as we're driving by, we're looking on the left again, he's not there. We figured he's behind a bush, who cares? Now this guy's got a GTO, big engine, we're chirping gears going all the way down the end of this road. So about 5 minutes later, we get to the very end where there's a stop sign. And on that stop sign, we see a black figure with a hat, with white hair. It turns around with a white face and glasses. It was him. And he points at us. Again, U-turned, screamed all the way back, cut the back roads, took the long way back to his house, and that just so happened to be during the Lock Raven killings back then. There was some murderer killing people in Lover's Lanes. I don't think it had anything to do with it, but I did call the police. So if you sum this story up, we're driving down, he's on the left. Now he's in the middle of the road. We do another U-turn, he's nowhere. We're chirping gears 5 minutes, and he's there standing. He couldn't have gone there if he was driving a car that was faster. Many more ghost stories to come. Check your email with the video that I captured the entities. I love your show. And from one radio guy to another, congratulations for having your own gig. See you.
I will have to look up that video. I have not seen it, but that sounds horrible. That sounds very, very creepy.
I had thought that it was just a patron, because they said they were leaving the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it was a patron that has since moved on from Earth. But you know what? He wanted to come back to possibly one of the places that brought fond memories. And you know what? Whether he's technically alive or not, maybe he had a bit too much to drink that he was walking home rather than driving.
Do you think it was a case where that he had passed on the way walking home at one point in time, and this is just him repeating the same thing over and over?
Quite possibly, but that then would require to look to see what happened on that road.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the murderer, but if there was a car accident where at the time when he was alive, he did drive home, and whether he was a passenger in the car or something, and then he goes on that road and visits folks when they're driving. Again, so much we think when there is an encounter that it is something to spook the person that writes in or shares the story, and never do we give the visitor a little bit of credit if they want to come back and enjoy a time that they enjoyed while living.
Mm-hmm.
We always go to fear. So that would be my thought. I mean, again, with the murderings going on, there's a lot to that. There are several valid points of what that actually was.
Yeah, I completely agree. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony. This is Glenna. I've called in a few other times with some stories. But first of all, I want to thank you guys for having a place that we can call and listen and talk to. Matter of fact, I almost didn't call in this time because I've enjoyed listening to your show so much. Wasn't even paying attention to my music that I like dancing to. But you guys are addictive, and I love it, and I thank you for it. Well, this ghost story involves me and my dad, of all things. Because I've been involved, I don't know if you heard them or not, but a couple of other times I was involved with a story with one friend predicting her own death, and then seeing my friend on her viewing day when she had died. But this is where I had taken a job taking care of these two little precious kids, and it was just a town away from where I lived at. And I loved the house, and I loved the kids and everything. But I had been noticing that there was noises upstairs. They had like three rooms upstairs. One of them is for the kids, one's for the mom, and one's the playroom. And the playroom has a loose board under the carpet, and that'll come to play in a minute. But I would be doing dishes or whatever, and I hear something. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm hearing things. I hear things walking around upstairs. Nah, it's just your imagination, dum-dum. Don't put your mind in overactive play. But one day, the kids and I were downstairs on the main floor, and the little boy was in a beanbag chair, and the little girl was sitting in a chair, and we was watching TV. It was really quiet. We didn't have it very loud. But all of a sudden, I noticed I'm not mentioning any names of the little ones, though. He started looking up and looking at the ceiling and looking kind of confused. And I thought, uh-oh. I think he's hearing it too. And he just kept looking up, and there was a question mark on his face. Well, of course, I didn't want to worry him too much, so I didn't say anything. But every night I take them upstairs to give them their baths. And I'd be sitting there waiting for them to finish it. And then I'd dress them and take them downstairs again. But one day we were going down the stairs and something grabbed the back of my leg. And I almost ran the poor kids over getting down the stairs. Bad babysitter. But I was like, now I am not going to mention this to anybody. But I have to say this note. This is where my dad comes in. When I couldn't watch him, my dad had gotten attached to him too and became good friends with the mom. And so did my mom. So he would watch the kids when I had to work elsewhere. So when he would take the kids upstairs and give them their bath, he would sit out in the hallway and wait for them and everything. But there's a time that both of us actually got off at the same time. We didn't have to watch the kids. She had some time off or something. And we were on our way to Kentucky. And lo and behold, I don't know how I brought the subject up. And I said, Dad, I think it was like this. Dad, I got to ask you something. And don't think I'm funny. I says, do you? And he goes, do you hear people walking upstairs? I'm like, yeah. Over at the house? He says, yep. Matter of fact, when I wait in the hallway for the little ones to take their bath, it runs over my legs, goes down the hallway. So I'm like, ooh, okay. I said, well, it actually touched me one time going down the stairs. He's like, well, it just ran over my legs. You know, you feel a cold chill, but that's about it. And I'm thinking, But as I said before, when I'd hear them upstairs, when I was there, I hear it walking around. The mother has a waterbed that's up against the corner of the bedroom, and you can't walk around it. But you would hear, that was where it's down below where we are in the family room. Her bed's up above. And you would hear this thing walking around that bed like it didn't exist. Walk down the hallway, and then go into that bedroom where the toys and stuff are, and you'd hear that board squeak. And he'd come back down and walk around. And Dad and I ended up calling it the nervous ghost. We didn't hear, I never did mention it to the lady of the house. Dad didn't either. We still stayed friends with them for a while, but we never did find out why we had the nervous ghost there. I wish I could have found out, you know, or whatever. But I'm more into tune with the seeing and hearing them now. But I thought that was a cool story. And my dad verified it, too. And he thought he was hearing and seeing things. And nope, we both heard it. We both saw it. And so did the little boy. Well, like I told you guys, you're doing such an awesome job. Keep it up. You take care, and God bless.
You think you're more likely to have hauntings as an adult in your life and in your home if you grew up in a haunted house where things were going on a regular basis?
Yeah, I absolutely think, regardless of what it is, what that specific is in your childhood, you're absolutely more prone to have that later in life. I mean, whether you move a lot, whether you go to a lot of different schools, I mean, later in life, that will then affect the parent you are, etc.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think your brain goes right to that plate a heck of a place a lot quicker than had that been something you never experienced. You really wouldn't have the signs. You wouldn't know. You would just think, oh, it's just noises. It's just squirrels.
Yeah. It's just it opens it up, I guess, more as, oh, this could be a possibility other than squirrels. if you have had some of those experiences.
What I found was interesting, the loose carpet. She said more on that later, then she never went back to it.
She has a lot of calls in. I imagine it will be covered at some point. I was going through calls today. And she's got quite a few stories, but so I'm sure she can answer what that was. What were you wondering about it?
What it was? I mean, is that I just it kind of piques my interest that there's a little bit more to that story. So I hope that she, whether she writes a letter, emails you, calls you, that can give a little bit more clarity to what that was.
It would be. It would be good to get that. 855-853-4802. Let's go to another caller and hear another ghost story.
Beth from East Tennessee. Been a listener for a long time. I am an EPP. I was going through the back catalog and listened to an episode from March of 2017. And there were two things on it I wanted to address. First, you asked if there were landlords who had tenants claim that their properties were haunted, and yes, I own a piece of rental property. It's a house that I lived in for 10 years before I rented it out, and the first people that moved in said that there was a lady that haunted it, that they'd come face to face with her on multiple occasions, and that they could, like, they said if at night sometimes you could hear dishes being rattled around in the sink like somebody was washing dishes, even though the sink was empty. My husband claimed that I never met that ghost because the sink was never empty when I lived there because I let my dishes pile up. But anyway, then the gentleman who moved in after them, he, before he actually moved in, he asked me, is the place haunted? And I told him what the previous residents had. And later, he said to me, yes, your house is haunted. But he said, I was like, well, what happened? And he said, your house is haunted. And that was all he would say to me. The other thing I wanted to talk about is you talked about, I got cracked up. Are you talking about the girlfriend of a relative being there at Christmas time and eating all of the little Smokies? And that just really tickled me because at Christmas time at my house, we had those when I was growing up, but my dad used to call them Poodle Peters. So thanks, you guys. Have a good day, and I enjoy listening to the podcast.
Did you have any creative names for little Smokies?
That went way over my head. Little Smokies? Puddle Beater? What?
I've never heard Puddle Beaters. Little Smokies are those little, like, mini hot dogs that you often have at, like, Christmas time.
Cocktail weenies.
Cocktail weenies, yeah. Yeah, same thing.
Puddle Jumpers? What did you call it?
Puddle Peters? I don't know. I don't know.
Piper Pick? No.
No. So you call them cocktail weenies, yeah.
Pigs in a blanket, if they were the ones in the croissants when we were high class.
That was totally a mom move of the 1980s of, we're going to be really fancy. We're going to wrap tiny cocktail weenies in croissants and then pronounce it just like that. And it's more amusing when it's coming from a Wisconsin accent, too, because, oh, yeah, did you see the spread over there? Yeah, we got there's meatballs. I got some ham roll ups. And those are cocktail weenies in croissants.
Cheese and crackers. And also nice spread there with the we can say brands in Wisconsin. They're Johnsonville. So they're Polish, Italian brats in the croissants. We also got some sherbet. And come on over. Even Kevin, I know he's adopted, but that's okay. Bring him over. We can play some badminton in the backyard and some jarts. Do you guys ever play? Or are you aware with what jarts
yes,
are?
Yes, I am, and I remember distinctively when my parents took the jarts away from us after they became outlawed. I was really getting into it too. It was like the two orange. I thought they were hula hoops because I was tiny, but you know that was the target. And then you throw the jart in the air, and then it goes up, and you try and get it into the circle on the other thing. And then all of a sudden there was some scare the world thing on Dateline where I think somebody was standing underneath a jart and got killed. Shocker there. And then they said no more jarts, and all I had was the hoops.
I was 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, we were right around there.
Oldest, slinging the equivalent of samurai swords. These have some, if you don't know what jarts are, Google J-A-R-T, not jorts. That's something entirely different. I may have been wearing jorts, but literally just the weight alone, these things were at least a pound, maybe more, and had a thick, large, well-built metal sharp tip where, hell, I'm surprised you can puncture a lung
The jarts, ours didn't, where they, there was not a sharp tip. I mean, I remember it was like, it was a pointy tip. And I suppose if it's coming down on you from 40 feet in the sky and it's a, you know, a pound and a half object, it can certainly do some damage. But ours weren't like sharp or anything. It was just kind of, I don't know, it was like a pen. I mean, but like a pen with a cap on it. That's about as sharp as it was.
And just to kind of give the visual here, it's like whether you call it beanbags or bago toss or what have you, that's set up. So you're on one end, two, you're on the other, and the beanbags are, well, they're weapons. They're jarts is what they're called. Current day jarts are basically more Nerf-like or yeah. very dull, because what they had to do was you had to have them stick in the grass. So you had to have enough weight to them, and you had to arc it.
Yeah.
And of course, you got more points if you get in the circle. So, anywho, we got jarts in the back. We got badminton with the shuttlecock and some croissants.
Just another get together in the state of Wisconsin.
And oh yeah, Chuck went out. He got some spotted cow as well. So and the croissants.
Oh, spotted cow and Lineys wouldn't have existed back then in our house.
We're gonna get hammered and then drive home.
Maybe like Boone's Farm. Like, oh, did you get the strawberry lemonade, Boone's Farm? That's it's pretty good stuff there. You like that?
About the black bear soda, the citrus thunder, and that would be the knockoff. Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Jolly Good. You'd have Jolly Good is what you'd have. That was the generic.
And if you have never been to the Midwest, specifically Wisconsin, and you don't appreciate this last 3 minutes of banter, go there. We really are nice and do truly talk a bit humorous.
And we may injure you or your loved ones in a game of jarts. Let's do one more call and then we'll wrap it up. 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. My name is Danny and I live in Bel Air, Maryland. I've been listening to your show every single day for the past few months. I'm a dog walker, so I basically listen for 5 hours a day. So thank you so much for everybody who calls in and writes in and shares your story, because it makes the rest of us feel a little more normal when we have experiences. I just wanted to share, I have a few stories in my life, but I'm just going to share one about the house that I currently live in with my husband, 3 kids, and 2 dogs. It's an abandoned property that was abandoned for about 6 years prior to us buying it. When my husband first called me and told me about the house, he said, you know, it is this abandoned property, and it needs a lot of work, and it's in the middle of the woods, but it's in this community that I always wanted to live in here in Bel Air. So my first question was, is it haunted? I have such an amazing imagination, and I'm a fiction writer, but I scared myself into thinking this house might have had some residual energy, let's say. But when I went and looked at the property, it was so full of light, and it had such a good vibe to it that I said it was definitely well worth it. So fast forward a few months, I'd say about 8 months, and we're a few months away from moving into the property, and I am painting my girls' room. They were all going to be sleeping together because I think they all have my imagination too, and they can scare themselves into anything. And I'm painting the room, and I have one of those brush rollers that goes over the textured walls. And I'm painting, and yes, my husband left to go get lunch with my girls, so it was just me, and I was feeling a little weird. But again, my imagination always makes me feel weird in an abandoned house by myself. So I am painting, and the roller is going up and down, up and down. And at the same tempo of the roller, I hear "Get Out." And it's in a female voice, and it's very clear. But again, it's that same "Get Out." So I told my husband, and of course, we chalked it up to my imagination, or at least he did, and I just tucked it away for future nightmares. And fast forward another few months, we moved into the property, and the very first night we are there in the house, my children go to bed, and my husband and I are downstairs. Well, my oldest, who was probably about 9 at the time, came down and said, Mommy, somebody just said welcome. Now, of course, he knows nothing about my experience in that room, or anything, but the person said this, the voice she heard said, welcome. So we both looked at each other, and of course, Jim just said, well, Jim is my husband. He just said, well, you, they got your imagination. So again, fast forward a few more months, and my husband and I are sleeping. It's in the middle of the night, and we both wake up to the sound of someone crying. Now, that's not unusual because we have three children, and the youngest at the time was only a toddler. So, you know, sleep disturbances are pretty common in my house. But when we fully awoke, I realized it was a woman crying. And since I'm the only woman in the house, it was pretty scary. So that time we were both affected by it, but my husband has a great way of forgetting those moments. So I followed a few more months, and I was standing in the kitchen making something at the stove, and this black, solid something passed behind me. I jumped and kind of squealed and turned around to yell at my husband or my black golden retriever for scaring me, and I turned around and nobody was there. And it was at a certain angle in the kitchen where there was no way my black golden retriever could have left the room. And there was also no way the black golden retriever was 6 feet tall since the shadow was pretty large. So I have various stories like that. And my oldest still will not stay in the house by herself because she swears she constantly hears footsteps. I also hear footsteps a lot of times when I'm in the kitchen above me, and I'll yell up at the girls to get into their beds because I hear them running around and everything, only to come to find out they actually were in their bed and they actually were asleep. So for some reason, that one room just seems to be a hot spot. And what I failed to tell you was when we went to closing for this house, the other family who had first purchased the home and was selling it to us, we were all done with the paperwork, and they said, and you're in luck, the house comes with a ghost. Now, I could hear my husband screaming because this is the last thing to tell me, but they had said that their brother had unfortunately passed away off-site in a drowning incident, and that people had seen his ghost, but the realtor assured me that they had never seen his ghost at the house itself, just on the off-site property he had passed away. So, of course, I don't know what to make of it. I already hear you saying, well, I know what to make of it. Your house is haunted. But it's very hard to apply logic to situations that you really can't explain. So, again, thank you so much for giving this opportunity for all of us to share our stories and to help all of us feel we're just a bit more normal in this unpredictable world. Have a great day.
I don't know how I'd react if you're literally sitting there at closing, right, and then suddenly you get the, oh, and by the way, your house is haunted line. That's not cool.
So is it on the realtor there to give a little bit of a heads up earlier on in the process?
There's nothing you have to reveal about a haunting, but you do have to reveal if someone died on property. But they did not die on property. It's just somebody, they think there's a ghost there.
I mean, it's very easy for me to say, well, I'd say, well, honey, let's go check out another bungalow. We're out.
But you already signed the paperwork. That's why they waited.
Oh, post-signing.
Yes.
Okay.
They said right after the paperwork was signed and everything's dotted. Oh, and by the way, it comes with a ghost.
I thought it was at the closing, no, upon signing.
Yeah. Yeah. Prior, I would have been like, I think I'm going to talk about this a little bit longer and determine if I really want this.
Well, I think you follow up your closing meeting with a follow-up meeting with another realtor and put that baby on the market and don't even move in.
Right. Just away?
Two mortgages for, you know, however X time. Absolutely. I think if it's a situation, or you go in entirely naive and think nothing of it.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
I guess it just depends how sensitive you are and how much. I mean, I know if we had that at our closing, Jen would have been like, there's no way in hell. And that would have been it. I probably would have said, let's try it for a little bit, or I'll try it for a little bit while you guys enjoy the La Quinta. I just want to make sure. Well, say if there's nothing, there's nothing. Because if it's her brother, the guy, their brother, a loved one, maybe the brother's not going to stick around if the family's not there. I mean, that would really kind of be somewhat logical, too, of is it just going to follow them somewhere else, or maybe just not care anymore if the loved ones that he was haunting are not in that property anymore.
I mean, or it's absolutely that you roll the dice. But unfortunately, you don't want to roll the dice on something that you have. Invested in.
Yeah.
Much and what you've already put down, and this is aspirations of raising a family, putting a nice picket fence, having a golden retriever or two. It's a big deal. It's only your home.
Mm-hmm. And ghost. It's a pet ghost. You got to look at it like a pet. That's how you got to.
He just rustles around in the back. No worries.
No big deal. He's good.
Bring up some croissants.
Exactly. As long as you have the croissants, it's all good at that point. It's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person through our website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. Get access to all the bonus episodes, exclusive content, and more. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time. For Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.